we have to finish the Mizmar. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiya Bidvaro. Okay, Rabbi, so we're up to Pasuk Mem Zayin. We're up to Mizmar Yud Ches, Pasuk Mem Zayin, page 160. 160. We've spent a lot longer than I ever imagined we'd spend on this Mizmar, but I don't regret one word. And
this is like three times the size of
this is an endless. It's an important Mizmar because it's a Shira, David is summarizing his life. Baruch Hashem, we've done many different ideas, and we're up to the summary. Chai Hashem Baruch Tzuri, it's already over. The Mizmar ends. The last words in the Mizmar, according to the commentators, according to some of them, is what we learned last week, B'nei Nechar Yiboilu, the Yach Regu Miniski Roisehem. That was the Gemar. Now, with Pasuk Mem Zayin, Mem Ches, Mem Tes, Nun Nun Aleph, this is a wrap-up. This is a summary. He's winding down to close off the Mizmar.
What page is this?
Page 160. And we now conclude. Let's see. Chai Hashem. Hashem is Chai. She's coming to praise Hashem with an expression that Hashem is the source of all life. Chai Hashem, Hashem is the source of life. Uvaruch Tzuri, and blessed is my rock, the Arum, and is exalted Elokei, the God Yeshua of my salvation. Pasuk Memches, Okel Hanoisin Nikomoisli, a God, a power, that grants vengeance on my behalf. Vayadber, subjugation. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I was muted. Now you hear me? Sorry about that. Okay, we're on page 160.
The
Pashim Shad
of Chai Hashem is not Hashem, he's the source of all life.
Okay, we'll read the Mefarshim. Okay, we'll read the Mefarshim. Let us run through the basic words, we'll come back and read Mefarshim, correct? He grants me success. He grants me the ability to take vengeance from my enemies. Vayadber, he subjugates. Amim nations tachtoy beneath me. Hashem, he gives me power. Mefalti me oivoy, he allows me to escape. When the enemy is when I am a victim and the enemy is in hot pursuit, Hashem allows me to escape from my enemies. Af min komai tero yemeni, in addition. Now, af here is an unusual word in this context. Af normally means an anger. We'll read this in a few moments. Min komai tero yemeni, Hashem gives me power to rise above. Me'ish chamos tatsileni, Hashem allows me to escape from a person who is violence. He grants me the ability to escape, period. Therefore, I praise you amongst the Goyim, Hashem, Ulashimcha Zamer, I sing for your name, Magdil, Yeshuas Malkoi, Hashem. Now here we have Magdil versus Migdol. Okay, we know that on Shabbos and Yom Tov we say Migdol, and during the week we say Magdil. We'll discuss that in a few moments. The difference between what it says in Tehillim and what it says in Shmuel. Okay, Malkov Yoisa Chesed Lim Shichoi, Hashem does kindness for his anointed one, LeDavid uLeZaroi Ad Olam. Now let's go back and look at the Mitzudos and Rashi one at a time. Pasuk Mem Zayin again in the Mitzudos David. Chai Hashem, Mitzudos David. Haloi Hashem, Chai LeOlam. Hashem is alive forever. VeChazois Yaaseh Kol Hayomim VeYihyeh. And this, what do you mean this? What is this? Hashem is Chai. V'chazois yase. I think what he's referring to what it says in the future. What it says in the future, what the next Pesukim are going to say. What the next Pesukim are going to say, this is something which is Hashem's enduring guarantee for mankind, for tzaddikim. V'chazois, what we're about to read in the next few Pesukim, is something that we can be certain that he will always do forever. In the future, he will always behave in this way. V'yiyah baruch le'olam bavur zeh, and he will be blessed forever for this. Now, in other words, here is where you have according to the Mitzvah Stavit, there's a very big change in approach to the message of this Mizmar. Until now, pretty much everything that it says in the Mizmah was a description, was a praise of the past. This is what Hashem has done for me in the past. Everything we learned until now, all the way through, for 44 psukim, David is praising Hashem, what he has done in the past. David is reflecting upon his life. And we have taken this mizmor, David has given this mizmor for Klal Yisrael as well. When we look back, we can witness what Hashem has done for us in the past. Here is where there's a transition in the mizmor. Because according to the Mitzudais, we're now confident, based upon our past, of what will be in the future. And we can be certain that because these expressions over here are pretty much we said in the beginning of the Mizmah. What are we having new now from starting with Pasuk Mem Zayin going forward that we did not already have in the last 44 Psukim? The answer is, it is a statement of confidence and faith, emun, lebitachon, of going forward. Going forward, if we notice that we have problems, there are enemies who are trying to destroy us, we have difficult situations, we should feel confident, secure, that Hashem will come to our aid. He will rescue us. Not only will He rescue us, we will prevail and stand upon our enemies and crush them and destroy them. Because the proof is in the pudding, because of the past experience. Okay, someone who's clever, he learns from the past. You study history, this is the first lesson they'll teach in any history course, whether you're in elementary school, whether you're in high school, whether you're in college. It's funny, when in every single grade, they do this history. The first thing the teacher always said in history class is, what is the purpose of studying history? It's always the same lesson in every single grade. What is the purpose of studying history? It's to learn. History repeats itself. If you learn about human behavior, the human condition, about what is the source of war, how to make peace, what are the causes of strife and challenges in life, if you'll study the past, you will be prepared and have the tools to deal with situations that arise in the future and not allow them to escalate into a crisis.
How can we be sure that we deserve the redemption that we've gotten in the past?
Okay, that's part of the lesson. Okay, that's a given. You're saying good, how could we deserve? That appears to be a given. Built into this whole message is that if we are faithful, if we do our part and we are observant, we are mekayim the Torah and the mitzvos, then we can be confident. You're absolutely correct. There is an assumption, a given, that we are doing our part. When we do our part, then we can be certain, based upon the study of history, Hashem will do His part, even in the most difficult and trying circumstances. Shema yigur machet. So Rashi there on the spot says X. Rashi there says Katan, even though why Katanity? Why? But Yira Yaakov Me'oid Vayetzer Lo. Yaakov was terrified and he was distressed. Rashi says why? Hashem promised Avraham. Hashem promised Yitzchak. Hashem promised Yaakov. There were so many brachas, haftachos. Rashi says Shema Yigroim Hachet. All of the promises are all beautiful and fine, but as long as we do not do averos. Once we do averos, everything is lost. Everything is lost. Absolutely, there are no guarantees for anything in this world. There are no guarantees. Shema Yigroim Hachet. This is always Amar Chazal. There's a tradition which is not really true, but there's a tradition of a person, the Sandik. He'll come in Asher. If he gets Sandikos, person is Zoyche to be a Sandik, it's a Segula of Ashiras. All the Gedolei Yisrael have said, right, we never ever saw a person get rich from being a sandik. So some will say, so doesn't Ashirus Asomeach Mechelkar? You'll say it means this, it means having children, and it means the Ashirus can be paid out in many different ways. Okay, that's all very fine, but even that, many people will say, we don't really see anything. We don't do a study, and the people become a sandik every single day. Do you see people have satisfaction in life? Do you see people have incredible success in any dimension of their life? Go do it, poll. Go ask people. I mean, it happens every single day. There are many people being born. There's a population growth, Baruch Hashem. So what do Chazal say? All of these segulas are all fine and good, provided there are no averos. A person is noki mechet. He's clean. He's clean. He hasn't done any averos. He hasn't spoken any lashon hara. He hasn't. He didn't speak during davening. He hasn't caused anyone tsar. When everything else is fine and good, then become your sandik. It'll be, give you a boost over the top for ashiras. But if unfortunately a person has in his life things that need to be corrected, he has issues, whatever they may be, each person on his own level, and then it becomes a sandik, the impact is minimal. In fact, impact may be, the bracha may be that Hashem as Rachmanis does not punish him for his averos, it's mitigated. But to expect a bonus, not necessarily. So he's saying it's true. All of this is going with all of these guarantees that we should be confident, be secure. It's only based on the premise that everything else in our life is good. But you're right, if things are not good, then we have no right to assume it's going to be okay. Let's go back to the Mitzvah Sovet. The Mitzvah Sovet says again, words of Baruch Li'olam Avor Zeh. Hanois and Hanoikim Nikmasim Yadav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he grants vengeance for my enemies. Vayadber. What does it mean, Vayadber? Yadber means to guide. Vayadber is a hard word to translate. It means to subjugate. It means to control, to have authority. Now he says something that is not different. Tachteini. Now here, what I told you is not the pshat of, this is maybe what some Rashi says, this is not what the Mitzudah Stavit says. The Mitzudah Stavit goes off on an extreme pshat. Vayadber miloshen of dever, a plague, death. Makas, makeh ha'umois badever. Tachas nafshi. This is a shocking interpretation. Look at the Mitzudah Siyon. Vayad meloshon dever umagefa. V'chein vat daber es kol zera hamamlocha meloshon hanhogo kmo dabor. That's the second interpretation. Nusach acher. That's what Rashi is going to say. He learns dever. And then he says something, the Mitzudah says tachtoi, which is very, very shocking, which means in my place. Like kaparos. This is very, very dangerous, very hard to understand what the Mitzvah Stavit is saying. And we say it by Kaparis, Ze Tachlifasi, Ze Tumurasi, Ze Hatarnagul, Yelech Lemisa, Vani Elech Vikonis Lechaye Lechayim. Something along those lines. When you do Kaparis, what you do, that this, really, I'm Chayev Misa. I have done Averis. I deserve to die. But you know what Hashem has Rachmanis? Instead of me dying, this bird is going to go in my place. In essence, that's what a carbon is also, according to some of the commentators.
Yes.
When you do a carbon, really, I've transgressed, I've done an avera, I should lose my life. But Hashem, you have rachmanis upon me, so instead of taking my life, we're going to bring an animal is going to go in my place. When I shech the animal, and I see its blood, I'm supposed to imagine the blood of the animal is my blood. When I see the blood is splattered on the mizbech, I should imagine it's my blood being splattered on the mizbech. When I see its fats and limbs being burnt on the Mizbech, I should imagine in my mind that it's my limbs, my fats. Yitzchak was offered as a carbon oila. The very last moment, Al Tishlach Yotcha El Hanar. Avraham did not stop there. Avraham, he took a replacement. Vayisa ina vayar vihine ayil. Achar nechaz basvach bekarnach. He took an ayil. The ayil, why is that necessary? Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Malach to tell Avram to stand down, not to proceed with the Akedah, why was it necessary for Avraham to bring an ayil? The answer is the ayil is the substitute. Avraham did the Akedah. He actually went through with the Akedah. He brought Yitzchak on the Mizbeach. He was about to slaughter him. And the very last moment, Hashem says, I see you already, you're so willing to do. Now when you're going to bring an ayil in its place. And Chazal tell us, Ephroi shall ayil savur lefana. The ayil is standing before Hashem at all times. It's ki'ilu, he was makriv with his own child on the Mizbeach. Now here it says something similar, not exactly the same. We have enemies. It doesn't really seem to say enemies. Vayadber amen tachteini. If you want to go learn the mitzvah, some very little, the Jewish people at times is guilty. They have committed sins, and they are chayiv dever, a magefa. They're chayiv terrible things. And what does Hashem do? Instead of taking us, He takes other people. He takes goyim, Gentiles, who are sinners, who are troublemakers, and they are taken by the Malach HaMavis instead of us. So you list the obvious question, you say in Kriya Shema Alamita, V'lo ye'onesh shum adam b'sibasi. We pray every single night, if you say the Kriya Shema Alamita, a person is that no living creature on this world should suffer because of me. If a person did an Avera, let's say in the context of what we said, the Kriya Shema Alamita, is a person did an Avera, a person spoke about me Lashon Hara, a person's a ganav, he did terrible things to me, he caused me agmas nefesh, I forgive him. Now, what it means, I forgive him, I don't know what it means exactly. The person that did the Avera has to deal with it, but we are misfalo to Hashem. Hashem, whatever you're going to do to this person, that's his issue. But I should not be the cause of someone else in this world suffering. If this person has to suffer because he did an Avera, he stole, he's a ganav, he's a bad person, that's your business, Hashem. But I don't put it on my cheshbon. Now, you'll tell me that's a contradiction. It is. I don't know. There are a lot of contradictions in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates with a different set of rules. But we are mispalo. Do no harm. The greatest thing a person can achieve in this world when he leaves this world is it can be said about him that he did no harm. People are running their whole life, they're pursuing their whole life of a legacy. A legacy, a legacy. When they die, they should say about him, they should write in the newspaper, have a big, big obituary, and there should be a big hespin, and there should be a big levaya, and they should build buildings, and I should have 10,000 great-grandchildren named after him. A legacy, a legacy, a legacy. Forget about the legacy. Were you the cause of pain in this world? When this person left this world, how many people in this world suffered because of this person? Oh, I have 10,000 great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren named after me. Good for you. And how many people in this world suffered, had a difficult life, had agmas nefesh because of you, because of the way you treated them? If you were in a position of power, you caused them agmas nefesh, you caused them harm, you did terrible, terrible things that caused them pain. That's what's important. Before you get to the positive element, focus on the tsar that you've caused other people in this world. Person should be able to leave this world and should be said about him, he has done no harm. Do no harm. That is an incredible thing. So here is a very shocking principle. It says, Vayadber Amin Tachteni, Hashem, bring dever, bring a plague, death, destruction, korban, upon the nations of the world instead of me. Hashem, I did an aver. I'm chayiv nisa. So you know what, Hashem? I'm going to bring a korban. And you know what the karma is going to bring? It will bring human sacrifices. Other wicked people in this world, they should die before their time because of me. I don't have an answer what this means. This is a very, very difficult principle, based especially when we say every single night at night, we say, V'lo ye'onei shum adam b'si b'si. We actually say this on the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. U'seshuva, u'sefila, u'tzedaka, ma'avirin es roya ha'gezer. What does that mean? So simply means, through teshuva, tefillah tzedakah, we cancel the evil decree. In heaven it was decreed that a person should be poor. In heaven it was decreed that a person, unfortunately, his health should not be the best. In heaven it was decreed that a person should suffer any type of suffering. So now that we do teshuva, and we are mispalo, and u'seshuva, we do u'seshuva, u'sefilo, u'tzedakah, ma'avirin. So what are we really praying in our mind? It should cancel the evil decree. Cancel it. So if that's really what it means, it should say in the Nusach.
Not necessarily.
So if that's what it really means, so then we should say it. Useshuva, usefila, utsedaka, mivatlin es roya hagezera. Chazal had a very rich vocabulary. There was no shortage of words. So why did they not say u'seshuva, u'sefila, u'tzedaka, mivatlin es roya hagezera? Cancels the evil decree. Doesn't say that. And what does it? It's ma'avirin, which is understood according to many, that Hashem just changed the GPS coordinates, right, of the laser-guided missile where it's going to land.
From us.
that instead of, you know, ready at this point in time when you're saying those words, it's already been launched. The missile has been launched. There's going to be poverty. And the GPS coordinates of the missile, the laser-guided missile, is the poverty is coming to me. It's coming upon me. Shem, do me a taiva. Hack into the missile, the laser-guided, the guidance system of the missile.
Diverted.
Change the coordinates. And instead of the missile landing upon me, let it land on a guy in the other end of the world. Someone in who knows where, somewhere in the Ukraine. It should land.
You're quoting from Yom Kippur, and what's the avoda of Yom Kippur? It includes the Seir La'Azazel. So,
but there it goes, it's off a cliff, it just goes nowhere.
But it's also transfer.
Ma'avirin. This is a very frightening idea. Why can't we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just cancel the whole thing? Cancel it.
Because that energy is still out there.
Oh, that energy. So who says, how do these things work? The energy. So cancel the energy. Hashem is infinite. There's nothing that Hashem can do. Just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent a missile and it's coming. So Hashem, so make the missile just, you know, disappear, or it should land in the ocean harmlessly. No one should get hurt. It should just be diffused. No, Ma'avirin, the missile is launched. There's no going back. It's going to land somewhere. The only question is, upon whom will it land? Will it land upon you? The best you can do is be misspelled that it should go somewhere else, on another person. Who says that another person deserves to be punished? So the answer is, obviously, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does allow the missile to land on someone else, that person does deserve it. But, not now. He would get this punishment maybe in 5 years, or maybe in 2 years, maybe in 10 years. Maybe that person would do teshuvah and he would not be punished altogether. Sorry, buddy. It's coming upon me and it's got to go somewhere. And today's not your lucky day. I don't have an answer to this. This is a very difficult question. This is what it says. Ma'avirin. Everything is, we do know that sur tamim pa'aloi ki chol durachav mishpat kel emunah ve'einav el tzadik v'yashahu. How do we understand this? How do we reconcile this with a lot of things that we see in this world? This is a tzorich in gadol ad me'od. But it's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. But it's painful for us to know that we are the source of suffering in this world. Basically, every time a person does an avera, someone's going to suffer. The question is who?
Someone's
going to suffer. Someone's going to suffer. The question is who? If I do not do teshuva, I'm going to suffer. If I do teshuva, as you said, Ramachal, energy has been created. That energy must be expressed. It must be diffused. Upon whom, where, how it will be diffused? Well, I'm responsible. It's my mess. It's coming to me. If I do teshuva, it won't come upon me, but it's got to go somewhere else. Where will it go? Why should it go on this person? What did he do to deserve it? Well, you have to understand that every person...
We may not know,
but the person, if it's going to go upon someone else, he deserves it. But it's still coming because of me. I'm not a happy camper that someone in this world, even if he has to suffer, I should be the cause of him suffering. Megalgalin zuchus ali de zakai v'choiva ali de chayev. Even when a person has to suffer, I don't want to be the one to cause that person to suffer. There are people that are executed for terrible crimes all over the world. Do I want to be the executioner? Okay, in third world countries, they kill people every single day. In China, they kill people. You commit a crime, they don't like, you get they take the person out, they shoot him. Who's the one that executes him? You want to be that person? He has to die. He's going to die. Someone's going to kill him because he committed a crime, treason. He has to die. Do you want to be the person that's going to pull the trigger? No, I don't want to be that person. I don't want it on my conscience that I'm the one who pulled the trigger, even though he deserves to die. But that's what it says. How does all this work? This is part of the mysteries of the world that we really, really have no understanding of. And this is what it says in the Metzilas David. He says here a very disturbing interpretation. Vayadber amim tachteli. He learns the word vayadber. The shorish is dalid beizrech dever. There is a plague, death, a magefa. Amim, nations are going to suffer this pestilence, this plague, this death. Tachtoi, instead of me. I acknowledge I am guilty. But Hashem, divert, hack the laser-guided coordinates of where this missile is going to land. Instead, let it land upon somebody else, tachtoi, in my place. That's what it says in the Mitzvah stuff. Look at now, look at Rashi. Rashi totally disagrees with this. Rashi, Pasuk Mem Zayin, Chai Hashem. Okay, we're doing over these two psukim together. Chai Hashem, Ho'isa Li Kol Zos. Chai Hashem, Hashem is alive. Ho'isa Li Kol Zos. Now, Mitzvah stuff, Rashi does not explain what this means. This is a very difficult interpretation. Over here, you love Rav Mordechai. Stand up for a second.
Maybe it's he's suggesting it's a declaration of praise.
Okay. I guess you have to say that because according to the Mitzudos was also very disturbed with this. It was very disturbed.
Not a statement of fact, according to Rashi, but a statement of praise.
Okay, that's what it appears to be. Because according to the Mitzudos, the word Chai Hashem, again, it was a very difficult word. He meant going forward. Life, the expression of Chai, is an expression which connotes the future. It connotes moving forward. This is the way it's going to be. Life is the future. That's a novel interpretation. Every time you have the word chayim, look, the theme of the Yomim Noraim is zochreinu lechayim, melech chofetz b'chayim, v'chaseinu b'sefer ha'chayim. What are you praying for? The future. Okay, the whole theme of the Yomim Noiram Chayim is the future. You're not praying for now. You're not reflecting on the past. We don't necessarily pay attention to this principle, but it's important. When you come to a pasuk like this, you have no understanding what the pasuk means unless you appreciate this point. Whenever you say the word Chayim, it means future. Substitute the word Chayim for the word future. Then it has a whole new flavor. So thus, when it says here in this expression, Chai Hashem uvaruch tzuri, Hashem, your behavior of everything that we've discussed until now for these last 44 psukim is true going forward. Going forward, I am confident, I am secure that what we've discussed thus far will endure into the future. That's what the Mitzvah David said. In a very, very few words, he said this, a very powerful interpretation of this pasuk. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi is very vague. And as Ramchal is suggesting, with Rashi just means it's an expression of praise. And according to Rashi, maybe that I was telling you that this part of these certain going on is the end of the Mizmar. I read that that's the Mamloes. I was preparing for the Mamloes, and he says this from going forward, the Mizmar is over. Mem Vav is the end. Mem Zayin is the wind down. It's a summary. It's just we're wrapping it up. It's the envelope of this Mizmar. What's the envelope? Well, according to the Mitzudos, it makes a lot of sense. Now that we've learned the lessons, what's the takeaway? What's the summary? What's the upshot? What do we take out of this? We can be secure and faithful in knowing to predict what's going to happen in the future. Rashi does not appear to learn like this. Rashi learns Chai Hashem means, like you're saying, it's a praise. Hashem is alive. Hashem is a living being. Rashi adds in two words. Hashem gives bi koyach. Hanoisein la yoev koyach. Okay, I have to look at the video again. Someone told me, everyone is talking about this video where Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and his wife Bathsheva were saying brachos to each other. Did anyone see that video? I just saw it for a half. I didn't pay much attention to it. I just looked at it for half a second. Someone commented, oh, did you see that video of Chaim Kanievsky and his wife? They said brachas to each other. By the way, it says that the Pesach Shulchan Aruch. It says that it's I think the second sin in Shulchan Aruch is that when you say Birchas Hashachar, you're supposed to answer Amen to someone else's bracha, and then you say the brachas, and then someone answers amen to your brachas.
What's the goal of David?
What?
What's
So he does it one way, because not everyone has time to do it. But lechatchila, you see sometimes people who do this in shul. There are people who do this. There are definitely people who do this. I used to do this with someone. This person, this years ago, he passed away a long time ago. People, there are people who do this. So there's a video of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zeicher Tzadik Livracha, and his wife, Aleha HaShalom. They were saying brachos to each other.
They do one in one?
All the brachos in one shot. No, the minig is not. The minig is you say all the brachos. And you answer amen to each and every bracha. And then the other one says the brachos and you answer amen. It's a beautiful thing to do. You can say, right? Yes, definitely. You can definitely say. You're not being Yadra because you're not being Yotze. The only time you're not allowed to answer Baruch Hu V'Yoch Shmo is when you haven't kavanah to be Yotze, the Baruch Shmei Kaina. You are bedavka not having kavanah to be Yotze, the Bracha, because you want to be able to say the Bracha yourself. So you can definitely, you should say Baruch Hu V'Yoch Shmo. So the person, did you see the video? I said, I said, yeah, I saw it for 3 seconds because I have zero patience. Did you see the how Bat Sheva, his wife, how she finished off the last Bracha? I noticed in my life, Koya! I gotta go see it. She ended off the end of the bracha with a lot of
koyach,
as if we all need it's almost like humorous, like we need a lot of koyach in this world. So Rashi here in this is very fascinating. Rashi here in this pasuk Memches, Hanoisein Nikamoisli, Hanoisein Bi Koyach.
Who needs the koyach?
David says, "Hanoisin li koyach li nake me oivai." That bracha, by the way, is a very mysterious bracha. That bracha does not appear; it's not anywhere in Chazal. How did the bracha "Hanoisin la yoev koyach" get into the birchos hashachar? All of the birchos hashachar, b'liyotze min haklal, are mentioned in the Gemara. A mention in Chazal. There is the only bracha which there is absolutely no remes for is the bracha Hanoisein La Yo'ev Koyach. Who instituted the bracha Hanoisein La Yo'ev Koyach? The Go'inim, it seems. The Go'inim. In a much, much later time in history, when it appears that a weakness came down upon the world. After the Rabbanan Savaroi, when they were messiahing the Talmud Bavli, there was a terrible weakness of Ruchnius and Gashnius that came down to this world, and they made a very bold step. We have a makar to do this. Everything that you do in halacha needs a makar. You cannot do anything without a source. I'll give you an example. You ever hear of the Chayyim Rabbeinu Gershon? Polygamy, you're not allowed to marry more than one woman. How can Rabbeinu Gershon come along and prohibit with a curse a person from marrying more than one wife? You have no right to control people. We live in a world where you see that it's the big thing today. It's freedom. It's took on a whole new life, freedom. What? Where do you draw the balance between authority, between control, and freedom? Today, it's a very big topic today, because living in a world with COVID and all these censorship. Okay, it's a big, big thing. We were asleep, we were blessed for 50 years. People didn't pay much attention in the Western society, Western culture, of worrying about freedom. Freedom was a self, it's a given. You live in a communist state, okay? You live in China, you live in North Korea, you live in these communist states, Cuba. There's no such thing as freedom. You live in the Western civilization. Freedom. Today we see, you got to be careful, you watch what you say. Today it's not so simple anymore. People take it for granted. How do I get into this? I don't know what I was saying.
Rabbeinu Gershon.
So Rabbeinu Gershon, what right does he have to come along and tell you who not to marry? Freedom.
I want to be it right now.
Freedom. Where did Rabbeinu Gershom get the right? What, you just make a takana? Because.
So what kind of problems?
You made a lot of takanas.
You don't read someone's mail. You can't do that. Okay, you can't go and take away a person's freedom. A person wants to marry more than one. According to the Torah, is it mutar? Yes. Did Yaakov marry? How many wives did Yaakov have? 4 wives. How many wives did David have? 18. How many did Shlomo have? 1,000. The Torah is a very, Torah promotes freedom. Ukerosem dror. Ukerosem dror ba'aretz. The Torah is a document of freedom. So how come do Chazal don't have a right to come along and you have to have a makar? Where is the makar you're not allowed to marry more than one wife? It's the Daf Yomi. It's incredible chiddush. Someone tells us, Daf Yomi, where's Daf Yomi? If a man dies, brother dies, and he has 20 wives, he's allowed to have 20 wives, right? He's allowed to have 20 wives. How many of those wives is he allowed to marry for Yibum?
One
wife. Why only one? Lahakim la'achiv shame. Lahakim la'achiv shame. So my brother had 20 wives, he died, all 20 wives, he had no children, so let me rebuild his home by marrying all of his 20 wives. I'm a multi-billionaire, I'll marry them all. What? Yet it is asur midoraisa for a man to marry when he comes to rebuild his brother's home. He's not allowed to marry more than one wife. Why not? Gezeiras HaKos. So you see, what do you see from this? You see the roots of Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. That there is such a principle in the Torah, you may not marry more than one woman. You have a mission. Person died. You're here now to rebuild his home. You're rebuilding a person's home. And he has 20, you have 20 options. You can marry any one of them. There's no erva, a case where there's no erva. He has 20 wives. It's a gezeiras hakasev. Bayis echad hu boine ve'ene boine shnei batim. I'm not so sure I'm saying exactly the words of the Gemara. But you're not, and all the other, once he marries one wife, the other wives are all also, they become also. Eish esach shlev maka mitzvah. So what do you see? You see that the Torah itself laid out a hichatimsa, a principle. Do not marry more than one wife. Do not take for yourself more than one wife. Now, wait a minute. The Torah only said that by Yibum. The Torah did not say that by your own bias. It's mutter for a person to marry. But yet, the Torah already planted a seed. It planted a principle. That is what gave Rabbeinu Gershom permission, due to the circumstances, whatever they may be, you know what, among Ashkenazim, for 1,000 years, you're not allowed to marry more than one wife. But let's say, what would have been, this is a suggestion, but it makes a lot of sense, what would have been if a Gezeris HaKosov, and it's not so far-fetched, what would have been if it would not have been such a drasha, and if a man dies, and he leaves over multiple wives, you can marry them all. Rebuild your brother's home. We build the other brother's home, marry all the wives. What's so terrible? Then, would Rabbeinu Gershom have ever come along and issued a curse upon the person who marries more than one wife? Not necessarily. Freedom. We're not here to go take away your freedoms. If the Torah gave an indication, okay, if the Torah gave an indication, that's such a thing.
But your freedom was already taken away when your brother married all his wives. You could not marry.
Because they're his wives. That's a different issue. They're his wives.
Right.
There's a married man. Aisha Sish.
So your freedom to these women were taken away. We are allowing you one. It's not like we took away the other 19.
When he's married, there's a din of an eishes ish, eishes ach. Now you have a situation, the person dies, he has 20 wives. You have an obligation to rebuild his home. What's the problem? What's the problem? Marry them all.
It was the eishes ach.
Marry them all.
It was eishes ach. Okay.
You see such a, the Torah took off the eishes ach. Okay, it's an idea.
They mocked
you one. They didn't ask you the other
okay,
idea.
This
they
is
were
a, okay. I hear you say it's an idea. To me, it was a mind. This really opened up my mind. I think it's an amazing principle. Chazal don't just come along. They don't come along and make up new things. When Chazal make takanas, we have to appreciate. The Torah promotes freedom. Live your life. Do whatever you want. Don't. But if the Torah doesn't want you to do it, you don't do it. No one has the right to come along and tell you to do things that the Torah tells you are permitted.
But he did a Hirosh Shah.
You can't do Hirosh Shah. Who gives you the right to what you want? The Torah said it's mutter. Taking away people's freedom? You have to have a root, a Makaran indication in the Torah that the Torah does not, at times, the Torah does not want this to be. You need Chacham, it's a Hirosh Shah. Because the man can marry, the first brother married multiple wives, but now to make a takana that a man cannot marry more than one because he can't support them? Who says he can't mind your business? If they want to marry him, he wants to marry them, what's the issue of it? Okay, enough said. Rashi over here says that at that time, after the Churban, after the Rabbanan Savoroi, or during the time of the Goyim, they instituted a new bracha, Hanoisein Layoev Koyach. It's a pasuk in Navi, that, and we once learned this, it's also in the rumors there in the Navi, that during an era, a certain tekufa, it's fascinating, it's not in Chazal. It's a pella, because to say, Bimoitzi Shem Shamayim, the Dover Chomer Agmoi, one of the most severe averis in Kol HaTorah Kula, Aseres HaDibros, and yet the Rabbanan, the Goyim came along and they instituted a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam Hanosein LaYoev Koyach. It's a pella that they did such a thing. It could very well be though there are people, I don't know, today we live in the global melting pot that did not say this bracha. They objected this bracha. We say, I remember we learned the Siddur Shir a long time ago, spent time on this bracha, vaguely sticks out of my mind that there were kihilos that were not so quick to accept to say this bracha. There's no record for this bracha. We all, today we live, there's no, you're not going to hear anyone not say the bracha today. It's accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael. This Rashi has triggered this machshava because he writes here, Hanoisein Nikomoisli. David here is winding down at the end of his life. David over here is leaving, he's departing. His life is coming to an end. And now the Mizmor is over. And he's making a couple of messages. He's the end of his life, he's weak. And he says over here, Hanoisein Nikomoisli, Noisin Mikoyach. Hashem has granted me Koyach. Linoke me Oyevai. Vayaber. Vayaharoid l'shoim deres. So Rashi quotes what we learned in the Mitzvah of David. The first interpretation. Vayaber l'shoim deres. And the Shmarach has brought upon the world a plague. Now there's an interesting concept here. David over here first had noisin two ways to take revenge. Either you do it yourself, or doim l'Hashem v'schoil eloi. Let Hashem do it for you. First it says, David says, I'll do it myself. I don't need any help. Hashem grants me okel hanoisein mikomos li. Rashi, be koyach. I will do it myself. There are enemies out there. I'm not going to wait for some miracle for them to get sick and die and have their own internal, for them to implode because of their own nonsense. I'll do it myself. I'll do it. I'll launch some missiles, some strikes, preemptive strikes. Hashem gives me the koyach to eliminate my enemies. And then David says, sometimes better don't do it yourself. Leave it to Hashem.
How about Nekama?
That's Nekama. Nekama is you do it yourself. Well, the answer is yes and no. I mean, today we live in Golis, and no one's looking for trouble. Okay, no one's looking for trouble today. But Me'ikar HaDin, there are times when, you do take Nekama. Okay, obviously today no one's promoting the come, no one's promoting violence, and we live in a very dangerous world. But David over here says there are two types of ways that the vengeance is served. Either David, I'll do it myself, and then the second half of the pasuk says that when I cannot do it myself, Hashem, I leave it to you. You will do it for me. You will bring upon these enemies a natural disaster. All of a sudden you wake up one day, there was an earthquake, and this whole country just disappeared off the face of the earth. How did that happen? There was a tsunami, They're all gone. All these people, they disappeared. There was a tornado, gone. Natural disaster. I didn't lift a finger. There was a magefa. There was some illness, some disease, gone. Two different types of vengeance. First, again, vayadber, vayarog, loshon dever, loshon acher, k'moy vayinhat, loshon acher. Now here's another interpretation.
Excuse me, I'm just wondering if in the zemer, Yoinu Motzer Romano, when it says Baruch Hashem, Yoinu Koach, and he's making a reference to the bracha, was he wrote it, he lived about 100 years later.
Exactly. It must have been. He was a Rishon. He was a Rishon.
Not long after Gershon.
He was a Rishon, so for sure.
Yeah, so he lived
sure.
Less than 200 years later.
For sure they already had the bracha at that point.
No, no, yeah, it had to be. But what I mean is he's making a reference to it when he said it in the Smiris.
Said, I'm not saying my Yod
Koach. The language is exact. Baruch HaNosem LaYod Koach.
Yoino was the name of the Chosam, and Manoyach was the name of the cow. You know, there's some
right.
Yeah, when
that.
You get married, you need a lot of Koach. To survive. Right, this was the Shem Brachas period. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, he wrote this period as Shem for in honor of a Chosam whose name was Yona. And I'm sorry, the Kala. Those days, the Kala, there are certain names that women...
Yona goes both ways.
Both ways.
Yeah.
Like, where it's Simcha.
Nowadays, it's
there are certain names that go both ways. So Yona was in the Kala, and Manoach was the name of the Chosan. Yoina Matzah Ba Manoach. Okay, it was a play on the words, whatever. It was a Chosan Kala. And the Rebbe one would say, today when you go to someone, as a Shabbos guest, what do? A good person, if you're invited, you know, you go to a simcha and the Baal Simcha puts you up in the beautiful home, hospitality, so you bring your host a bottle of wine, you bring him some of your leftover mishloach manos, right? You bring them a bottle of wine, you bring them a little present, that's what we do today. In those days, the Middle Ages, when you go to a simcha and the Baal Simcha puts you up in host, what do you bring? You bring them a poem.
Right.
You write a poem. It was such a big thing. You go to a simcha, what do you give? A poem. People took a lot of pride. Not a batchen. People took great pride in their skill of writing. And they would write poems. Yoina Motzah Bo Manoach supposedly was a poem that Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi composed in honor of a Chosan Kala by those names, Yona and Manoach, and it was so brilliant, somehow it was accepted into our Zeniros, and it's all, that's history. Okay, let's go further. So Reneg Rash then says, Losh Nacha, Kamo Vayanhe, Vayinha is to guide. The Metargim Vidabar. Vidabar means to guide. We say this. The same nusach. Vayaber amim tachtenu beneath us. Tachas ragleinu. Right before we blow shofar, and in the art scroll it says the second translation. Hashem subjugates nations beneath us. According to what we learned today, Rashi's preferred interpretation, his first interpretation, not Menachem. And what it says in the Mitzudos, it means Hashem brings upon our enemy a dever, death. Isn't that amazing? Is that what you are thinking when you blow in shofar? Right before you blow shofar, you're being mispalel l'chaim, zochreinu l'chaim, abo l'chayiv misa. Let our enemies, nations of the world who are enemies, let them get the death sentence in our place. Usashuva, usafila, utzadaka, ma'avirin. Let it pass over us. Let it instead go to them. Isn't that shocking? We are very delicate people. We're nice people, very, you know, polite. So when the arts go machzor, probably every single machzor in the world, I cannot imagine there's a machzor in the world with an English translation that does not translate it, like Rashi's second interpretation, that Hashem subjugates. Hashem allows the Jewish people to reign supreme, to guide them. Yadber amin tachteinu, he subjugates nations beneath us. We don't kill them. Adarabah. Achas v'sholom, to harm them. We're going to uplift them. We're going to teach them about the Hayo Hashem L'melech al kol ha'aretz. We're going to be in all the Amen. All the nations are going to learn from us. We're going to guide them out of their darkness. That's what it says. I'm certain in literally every single translation, in every language, in every machzor in the world that has a translation. And yet, that's not really the Pashup Shad. The Pashup Shad means death to them. Death to the nations. Not just death, the death that we deserve for our Averosh should go to them. Shocking, no?
What he was looking at, we are deserving death. Nobody's going to die unless they also deserve death.
I told you that, so we spent 20 minutes on that.
Okay, so now, when we say they should die instead of us, it's not that they should actually die, they should be taking that punishment, that decree
of death.
But they have a decree of death, they have death anyway.
But not now.
I'm saying that they should take our decree, that what was supposed to happen, that.
It's impossible to understand this. It's impossible. What would be if what would be if we were not
wishing on them death? We're wishing them to take our decree of death, which they're supposed to get anyway, somehow. But maybe the decree wasn't put out.
If there,
this decree and shift it over to them.
You're saying words. These are things which it's impossible for us to understand what these means. We say it freely. Yad ber amim tachteinu, Hashem chayiv misa. So bring upon the umos olam dever. Let them all drop dead, and we'll live. And we'll live. I don't know. I don't know what this means. I'm not going to make believe. I have no clue what this means. This is a very big mystery of how all of this works. We don't. I mean, we don't. We every single night. Don't you say every? You're supposed to every single night. V'lo ye'onesh shum adam, even a guy, shum adam b'sibasi, do no harm. So how do you reconcile that with this pshat, when you say in Rosh Hashanah, with ma'avirin instead of mevatlin? I don't know. I don't think anyone knows. This is part of the mysteries.
Again, that's why you can't be mevatlin. You can only push it into a better situation.
No, not better. No. Someone else should get it.
Different situation.
Someone else should get it.
When I was a kid,
eschato, I had imaskar. But remember, I once saw this television show or a movie. I don't know what it was. Where a person did a crime, and I was a whole scenario. And the end was the CIA said to the guy, listen. Just go through the motions, declare that, go to the trial, you'll be guilty, and when it comes time to go to jail, we're going to swap you. We're going to swap you. We have other criminals. We're going to bring them in, and they're going to look just like you. We're going to make them look just like you, and he'll go in your place, and you'll go out l'cheiros.
Sounds great.
We'll chop a guy off the streets.
Not chop a guy, chop a guy who deserves the prison anyway.
Whatever this means, I don't know. I don't know. This is something which is a very big mystery. On the one hand, we have a rule: Hatsur Tamim Paolok Yichol Derechav Mishpat Kel Emuna VeEinada. Mitzad Sheni, there are difficult things which are hard for us to understand, to relate to. Look, what about the principle of if Hashem knows about the future? And Hashem is Hoyo Hoyo VeYia. If Hashem knows the future. How then can a man have free will? How can I have free will? Should I drink this cup of coffee? Should I not drink this cup of coffee? Free will. What do you mean? Hashem knows what I'm going to do. If Hashem knows the future of what I'm going to do, doesn't that compel me to do or to not
it's
do?
Only because you don't understand what means that Hashem knows.
So obviously, ki loy d'rechai darkeichem. Loy d'rechai darkeichem. There's more to understanding than we comprehend. We're limited in our comprehension. It's not a contradiction. I have free will. Even though Hashem knows what I'm going to do, Hashem knowing what I'm going to do does not force me to decide one way or another. In the laws of philosophy, that's impossible. The laws of philosophy, that is an impossible thing to understand. That is an outright contradiction. But that's part of the equation, that this world, the world is a world of ruchnis, And the world of Ruchnis is not subject to the limitations of man's intellect. In the world of knowledge, that concept cannot possibly be. If Hashem knows the future, you're Mukhrach. It goes to show that even knowledge, even understanding is a Dabar Ruchni. It's the same thing over here. There is a Gezeira, the way the world works is if a person does an Avera, as Rav Chol's language, there is an energy that has been created. That energy has to be expressed, has to somehow come to be. Who is the prime target? Us, the one who created that energy. The most that we can do is do teshuva. Teshuva will not destroy, will not undo the past. Cannot be done. The most they can do is they can divert it. Where? Not into the ocean, upon another individual who deserves to be punished. But what do you mean?
It can be diverted onto the carbon. It can be converted
onto the carbon.
It could be diverted anywhere.
You think about it. You talk about a regular carbon. The person did not do an avera. Would the animal die? People today, in America, they're obsessed with animal rights. Okay, animal rights. So if a person did not do an avera, every time a person brings a carbon, what did the animal do to die? The animal came into this world, had a wonderful life, and now all of a sudden someone takes the animal, guess what, I was Mechalel Shabbos. Sorry, buddy, I have to take you and offer you. Why is the animal a happy animal?
Because
lost its life.
He went to
Kedusha?
Dying on the street.
The Gemara says not like that. The Gemara is a Maisa with Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Wasn't the Maisa Rabbeinu HaKadosh? It was a part that escaped. It escaped from the Shlachtois. It escaped from the slaughterhouse. Came running to Rebbe. And Rebbe said, Rebbe said to the Parah, Lekach Aton Metzarta. Go back to the slaughter. That's what you were created for. He was punished. I think it was Rebbe, if not mistaken. He was punished. Av Rachmanis. But if it already went through the effort to escape, and you show the halacha lemais, there is such a thing that if you have, there is such a thing in halacha. I don't remember the thing. I saw in Oitzer Plus. If you go to Shlachtois, and the birds and animals, if they attack and escape, you're not supposed to slaughter them.
You don't
let them go. If they manage to, escape, you let them go. There are animals. You don't slaughter every single animal. If they went through, there is such a principle, even halacha lemaisa. So, the animal would not die. The person here did his machal shamas. Oh, big deal. I did teshuva. I went and bought a carbon. It was a wonderful religious experience. The Kohen told me about Shabbos. I went to Yerushalayim. I went to the Beis HaMikdash. I took a picture. I got a selfie. The whole story. I come back. How was your experience? It was kedai to the machal Shabbos b'shoigeg. Have such an experience, an uplifting religious experience. I got brachas from the Gedolei Yisrael, and I did this, I did that. I'm a new person. I'll never ever, it's not even possible for me to be Mechal Shabbos for the rest of my life. Okay, that's what we'll say. But the animal's dead.
What?
The animal is dead. The animal, the border carbon chatos. The animal is dead. An animal suffered because of you.
He didn't suffer.
What do you mean he didn't suffer? It was slaughtered. It's dead.
Are you part of pets?
It's dead. I don't have any pets. They said in the news. They said some foolish senator said something so funny. He said in America, he said this like it's the worst thing you can say. Inflation, 20% inflation, you can't survive. So he said, so don't feed your pets. Let them stop. Woo! In America, to say that, don't buy dog food. Okay, if you don't have enough money for food, so just don't feed your pets. Let them starve to death. Woo! How foolish can you be to say such thing like that in America? Okay, there's such a big. Let's finish over here. So over here, Rashi, becoming my place. There will be another man that will come in your place. Your atonement will be the nation of Egypt. There's meant to be a dever upon the Jewish people. So you know what? Instead of there being a dever upon the Jewish people, we will send the dever to Mitzrayim. Kush usavot tachtecha will send the dever to the land of Kush. to the land of Sva Tachtecha instead of you. This is really ultimately shock. Let's finish up. Let's go to the next pasuk and test. We'll do the time. The falti me'ayvoy a'af. Let's see the mitzvus of the falti pasuk page mentes. Rat mitzvus mentes min komai. On page 162 mentes. To roime moyseyosim and akam molai. Elevate me higher than those who rise up against me. Pasuk gun alkein. Therefore, bavur hateshua hagedol azos. Because of this great salvation, magdil. Now, what is the meaning of your af? What does it mean over here, the word af? No one really over here is translating the word af. Look over here in the Malbum. Mefalti, look at the Man Pasuk Mem Tes on page 163. Mefalti me'oivat me'avai, ho'oiv hu hadore shura baseser, umoisef af min komai teroi memeni, shehem ele shokamu olav bagolui lilochem imoi. It gives you just a little bit of flavor. Af means even. Certainly, grant me success from those who try to do harm to me secretly, and those who rise up in public. I guess this means that an enemy who rises up in public is a more fearful enemy. When a person tries to undermine me secretly, it's easier to defeat them. Is it really? It all depends. You know, you can't generalize. Can't generalize, but the way, but that's why it's so, that is what is so difficult over here. Mephality may oyevoy, and then it says af. Af here seemingly means even.
So like kal vachomer, right?
So that's not what he says.
Maybe the seser ones are worse.
He seems those who are most of af min kamai to remain shem eila shakamu olo bagolui li lochemimo. He's not really explaining the word af.
Because those I can go fight against easier, so and even then.
Yes. Which is the more difficult battle? It's a more powerful battle.
The more powerful, difficult battle is the Seisu ones.
Oh, that's what you would think, right? From, you know. Isn't
and
that what you would think? The problem, the one enemies who fight against me, Bugoli, is that more difficult or is that easier? It depends. It depends. You can't generalize.
They're easier to identify.
But every situation is different. Every situation, you cannot generalize. There are many different types of enemies. There are enemies that are within, enemies from without. There are spies within. United States, on the FBI, there are 2,000 people on the United States is monitoring. They has been released in the news yesterday. There are 2,000 people in the United States that the FBI is actively monitoring as spies for China. 2,000 people in this country, are monitoring them. They are Chinese spies.
So they know who they are.
They know who they are. And they're watching them. They're watching their every single move. They're watching their every single move to see what they're going to do. For some reason, no one knows why, the President of the United States of America has issued an executive order that these 2,000 people who are actively being monitored by the FBI should no longer be monitored. They should be off the list. They should stop wasting their time on them. Why? Why in the world would the President of the United States?
Right.
Why? I don't know. So who? Then go read the news. You can figure out. I don't know. There are different types of enemies. There are enemies that are beseser, and there are enemies that are begolim. Which enemy is a greater threat? It depends. You can't generalize. Every situation is different. So my question to you is, what then does it mean of your af? Af here means even. First of all, what does the word af even mean? Af al pichein. Is af even a Hebrew word? Af al pichein. What does af mean?
Af is what to say. First
af means anger.
The first word he says to chaver is af. Nachas. The first word he says to chaver.
Good. Okay. I remember that. Good. Af.
Af yomar lehem.
Certainly. So what does he mean there? Certainly. What does it mean there? Af amar
lekim.
And what does it mean there? Af. Vadai, certainly. What does Rashi there say on that part? You have to go look at Rashi. Very excellent. Good, I didn't know that. It means with certainty. With certainty, Hashem did not. It doesn't mean even.
Right, yeah.
So we're used to the expression af al pi. Even though, even. We learn af and we somehow in our minds it means kal v'choymer. Certainly. Even, how much, or no, I'm not going to.
Af al pi kein, even though.
So, in this context, no one here is explaining. Look at the Targum. The Targum says, "Mi sheizev yosi, you save me." mi ba'alei divavai l'chod l'chod al de koimin le'av oshali. L'chod means, what does l'chod mean?
Here he says, Divi
was
a question.
What?
Osco.
Yeah. So what is Rashi? What is Rashi say in that pasuk? Yeah. What is Rashi in the word af? Shema.
Shema.
Oh. Shema amalachem. Shema. Maybe he
only. It's a word where the Trump gives you an indication of what the word means because it's a sieve.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, it's a heavy stress on that word. Really interesting.
He says here, indeed, 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 it's certainty. At certainty min komai teronimeni. Okay, let's leave it with that for right now, because I want to finish over here right now. So al kein lefer bavur kein adushol gozos magdil magdil v'zeoit chabagoyim magdil. Now, what is the difference between the word magdil and the word migdol? Migdol is a tower. It is a reality. Magdil is, it's growing. Magdil, it is developing. It is getting greater. It gets greater and greater. During the weekday, what do we say? Magdil. Shabbos, what do we say? Migdol. Why on Shabbos we say migdol? Because Shabbos is yom menucha. There's no growth on Shabbos. Shabbos, you rest. Magdil is causative. Magdil is what the meaning of Magdil means? Growth. It's a verb. Magdil HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is making great the salvation of his king. Who is the king? David, Melech HaMashiach. There is a, this is a very important principle. Mashiach is evolving. See, I have this theory, which is, it's not true, obviously, I'm going to tell you, but I think there's something there. Who is Mashiach? We are all brought up, Mark is Mashiach. We are brought up, I told this to you before, and I think there are psukim which indicate this element, a little mash of truth in this idea. We are all brought up, and it's the way it should be, we brought up is that the day is going to come when we're going to, one day you're just going to hear, guess what? Mashiach is here.
Person.
Mashiach has arrived. All of a sudden, came from Shemayim, Mashiach is here. Hear stories of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was waiting eagerly every single second to hear Mashiach is coming, and he had a suitcase, all the different stories in a suitcase. He had big day Shabbos, and he heard someone comes up, Mashiach is here, Mashiach is here. As if a person is going to arrive, min HaShemayim, or reveal himself, one day reveal, I want to make a public announcement. I am Mashiach. Prove it. Hine anoichi so einach nami. When you know it, you'll know it. Hine anoichi shaleach lachem eis Eliyahu hanavi. Eliyahu will come, precede Mashiach, and they will prepare us for Mashiach. This is the way we are brought up. This is the Messiah. If this is what the Messiah is, that's the way it's going to be. Hanach lachem lishol be'inam avim b'nei. I'm not trying to say nappy courses. But I want to say that there's another dimension of Mashiach. Think of it, just think of this idea, which is not true, but think of the idea. It will come a point in time when we're going to look back in history and say, he was Mashiach. Mashiach already came. And he died.
A person or a situation?
Let's say a person. And people will look back and will say, you know, we didn't realize it, but 20 years ago, Mashiach came. Let's say, for argument's sake, I'm telling you a fantasy, which is not true, but I'm trying to say to make a point. Let's say, for argument's sake, in 20 years from now, or in 10 years or 5 years from now, maybe next year, the world will achieve peace. There'll be no war, and the nations of the world will take their weapons of mass destruction and destroy them. And the world will be operating in a state of perfection. They'll find a cure to every disease. People will have parnasa, people will have freedom, and Klal Yisrael will be very successful. And people are going to begin to wonder, wow, what happened? They found a cure to cancer. They cured all diseases. People are living to the age of 120. People are healthy, people are happy, people are parnasa. Klal Yisrael is recognized as being the Am HaNifchar. The Goyim are coming to learn about Yiddishkeit. There is talk about building a Beis HaMikdash. I told you, Trump, when he was president, I mean, it's the most shocking thing ever. When Trump was president of the United States, he says, Israel, Jews, you want to build a temple? Build a temple! Who's stopping you? Who's stopping you?
Things into construction.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine what he said? Who's stopping you? You want to build a temple? He said this. Go Google it.
The
Arabs went crazy. You want to build a temple? Build a temple! Go make a deal with the Arabs. Make a deal. Pay them enough money. They'll give you the temple mount. And go build yourself a temple. Who's stopping you? It's Quraysh. Mamre's saying it's Quraysh. He stops saying that very quickly. Because his advisor says you want World War III? But he had the chutzpah to say it. And you know, who knows? And I mean, look, he said, move the embassy. Oh, there's going to be World War III if you're going to move the embassy. No one wanted to move the embassy to Yerushalayim. No. We're going to start World War III. Baruch Hashem, he moved the embassy. More or less quiet.
And those people started World War III.
Okay? More or less quiet. Nothing happened. Do it! Who's stopping you? Let's say, for argument's sake, I'm telling you which is not true. Argument's sake, go 20, a couple of years from now. They discover a cure to all diseases. Klal Yisrael is successful. There's talk about building the Beis HaMikdash. There's religion in the Hoya Hashem LeMelech al Kol Aretz. Wait a minute. Where is Mashiach? You know something? 10 years ago, there was an event that happened in this world where there were people that did things and were instrumental in bringing about the success of the peace that we have today. They were Mashiach. But you know, at the time, we didn't realize it. We did not appreciate that these people were Mashiach. Will Mashiach live forever? Well, Mashiach ben Yosef is going to die in the battle, Chazal said. Unless we are mispal that he will live. There is Mashiach ben David. Will Mashiach ben David live forever? Will he live forever? How does it all live? No one knows. No one knows any of this stuff. Is there such a thing that Mashiach comes and we only know that this is the Melech HaMashiach in hindsight? Based upon when we see the actual Geula, when Klal Yisrael returns to Eretz Yisrael and they build the Beis HaMikdash and we're scratching our heads, where's Mashiach? You know something? Mashiach already came 20 years ago. In hindsight, we can study history and we can identify who was Melech HaMashiach.
So Mashiach would be a situation, not a person?
Well, it's mashma, it's a person. It's not just a situation. The zman of the most HaMashiach, there are zman and there are people. And now what I'm saying is obviously not true. Because that's not the Messiah. The Messiah is, there will be a person that we will identify who he is. Chavetz Chaim was waiting to meet that person. There will be an awareness. Although what I'm saying is not true in the extreme element, there will be a person, but the process of Mashiach evolving, the situation evolving for Mashiach, that is certainly true. The conditions, Mashiach is a process which culminates in a person, in an era, in a zman. But it's a process, and we do not necessarily appreciate and see the process unfolding in front of us in live, in real time. We only appreciate this process in hindsight. But it's happening, and that's what it says here in this pasuk. Magdil Yeshuois Malkoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is currently in an active state of making great the salvation of the Melech HaMashiach. This is an active noun. It is alive. It is happening. Magdil. It's in motion. There are elements, there are events that are happening in this world which are bringing about pieces in the very big puzzle which are all coming together in order to bring about this situation. On Shabbos, we don't say this. On Shabbos, we say Migdol. Migdol is a tower. It's already done. It's finished. There are no more bricks to lay. There's nothing more to do. The Migdol is complete. Because Shabbos is not a zman of work. On Shabbos, you don't work. You don't work not in Gashmias, and you don't work in Ruchnias. Shabbos is not a zman for the Melech HaMashiach to do anything. A Shabbos, the Melech HaMashiach is on vacation. Though he's not involved in making peace between nations and doing it. Shabbos is a time where you sit back, your work is done. I once told Torah Anytime, I once told the head of Torah Anytime, Shimon Kol Yaakov, I told him, your business is the only business where on Shabbos is nothing. Zero. The whole week, you're recording, you're uploading a week, hundreds of shiurim a week. I think they're uploading, they're probably now about 250 shiurim every single day are uploading. Right? All different Magide shiurim all over the world. At least 250 a day. What happens on Shabbos? People are listening and listening and listening and listening. They're always checking the stats and this. What about Shabbos? Nothing. It's awesome. No one's uploading anything on Shabbos. I mean, there's time zones all over the world, so it's a very short period of time where, you know, we're, how many hours is it Shabbos to everyone at the same time?
Which time zone is it shut down?
What? It's never shut down. We had a big discussion about why Taco don't we shut it down? They went to many rabbanim to ask this question. Should Torah Anytime shut down on Shabbos?
On New York.
It's very easy. The IP address. Every person that connects to the server instantly knows exactly where you are. They know your address. Today there's no privacy. I don't know if you realize today there's no privacy. Okay, if you use Gmail, every single keystroke you type in Gmail is recorded forever. Forever. If you use Google Phone, I don't know what it's called, Google Voice, I use Google, I don't pay any. Google Voice, every word that you say on the telephone, or you know, whatever you say on the notes, you talk on Google Voice, as a regular telephone, why do they do it for free? I use Google Phone, set up the whole thing, so you don't pay a penny, regular telephone, regular home number, Google Voice, because every word that you say, they record. And then all of a sudden, my Gmail, I'm getting advertisements about things that you say on the telephone.
Exactly.
Nothing is free. Everything has a price. Privacy. But you know, when you go and you log in, when you go to Torah Anytime, it right away knows, oh, you're in Brooklyn. Brooklyn Shabbos is not over yet. So who's going to listen to a shiur on Shabbos? Obviously a Jew. Not a religious Jew, but a Jew.
I can log into my New York IP from anywhere in the world.
You're using a VPN. Good for you. You're very sophisticated. Not everyone.
Because I want to see my computer.
Not everyone has bitcoins. It needs a VPN. You know what I'm talking about? If you have a virtual private network where you can make believe you live in another part of the world, but most people don't do that. Most people, when you log in, you know exactly where you are. So therefore, the computer should say, "Excuse me, sir, who's listening to a shiur? A guy? There are guy. There's no question. There are guy who come to Torah Anytime to listen to shiurim." But most people who are not people who come to are Orthodox Jews, and then there's a segment of the population of non-Orthodox Jews, who want to hear a shiur. They definitely want to learn about Judaism. There's a ton of material, tons of stuff. Judaism for beginners, conservative Jews, Reform Jews. Jews are not affiliated with anything. They come on Shabbos, so it's Chil Shabbos. Chil Shabbos. They come to Torah Anytime. And they're surfing. It's Chil Shabbos. It's not a Daraisa L'chor, but it's a Midrabbanan to go type on the computer and to go to websites on the Shabbos. So they went to Rabban. Rabban told them basically, just it's not your problem. You don't have to shut it down. You're not promoting it on Shabbos. People are coming. They're coming. So I told them, what's the big deal? Why can't you just put up a page? Today is Shabbos. Today you're an Orthodox Jew, and on Shabbos, we don't do this. Just have a nice little message, whatever it is. Please come back when Shabbos is over. Why don't they do that? I don't know. So they actually, the last time I had a discussion with them, they said they're gonna revisit the issue. They're gonna go back to their Rabbanim and have a conversation, a very serious conversation. I don't know what became of that. So the question is. Isn't it interesting? I thought Tardy time, you work on Shabbat. Shabbat's zero. Zero. Then I thought, but it's just the opposite. Because Shabbos, for you guys, is the ultimate culmination of everything that you do on the 6 days of the week. People are learning, accumulating knowledge, accumulating Yiras Shamayim. And that's what makes their Shabbos. When they come to Shabbos, the people who use your service and listen to Shiurim, people that give Shiurim, it's a different Shabbos. They are a product of what they've been doing all 6 days of the week. But when the more you learn during the week, when it comes Shabbos, you're a holy person. Shabbos is Shabbos. Shabbos, you are the product of your spirituality of the 6 days of the week. We realize that because we do it. But when the whole, everything that you're doing is malacha, and especially malacha of ruchnius, stop. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to shiurim. Don't give shiurim. It's Shabbos. How do I feel on the Shabbos? I am today a product of everything that I have been doing the last 6 days of the week. That's true for every single person. But on a regular level, what you're doing is you're working, you're not working, you're not necessarily doing malacha. What you're doing during the week, you can do on Shabbos. You learn during the week, you can learn on Shabbos also. But the type of learning that's being done via website is a malacha. It's also on Shabbos. So what is Shabbos? You're the product. It's the culmination. That's exactly what it is. Migdol and Magdil. Migdol is the tower. It is the product. During the weekday, you're building the tower. During the weekday, you add another brick, Migdol. The tower is getting higher. That's Malacha. Migdol, Yeshua Smalko. The process, the evolving of Mashiach is in motion. Every single day, you're adding another brick to make the tower higher. Shabbos is the Yom Menucha. Stop. Magdil. This is the tower. Migdol. This is the tower. During the week, it's Magdil. Magdil means to make greater. Make greater. Higher and higher. Magdil. You have to have a trump, Rebbe Chol, two different hats. One hat for Shabbos, and one hat for during the weekday. During the weekday, it's make America great again. And then Shabbos, it's America is great. Magdil. Maga has to have two different hats. Rebbe Chol understands two different hats. Shabbos, there is Magdil, that is the active form, and then there is Migdol. You've come to rest. The tower is complete. These are the two. What it says in Tehillim, it is very fascinating that it is Tehillim that is the active form, and the Sefer Shmuel that is a statement of fact. Shmuel is Nevuah. Sefer Shmuel is the Sefer of prophecy. It is depicting what is going to be at the end of days. At the end of days, there's going to be a Migdol. Prophecy. Sifrei Nevi'im. It's a depiction. Tehillim. Kisuvim is activity. Work. Harvah. Get your hands dirty. Work. People are saying Tehillim again. In Tehillim it says, Magdil. We're being mispalal that all of the events of the world that are happening around us should all synchronize, fit into place, and culminate in the ultimate prophecy of a Migdol. This alone gives us a very powerful flavor of the difference between the purpose of Tehillim and the purpose of Nevi'im. Are we out of time? We have to stop over here. Okay, I think already, you know, we've done Baruch Hashem enough, so that's it. We're going to go tomorrow, we're going to move on. We're going to move on tomorrow to a new Mizmar. Tomorrow we start Mizmar Yotes.